No. You have had property in Union County since what years?
In Union County? We've had property in Union County since, 30, 40 years, I guess.
It was 30, see, we came here and to the Ambler Schools and...
I had the impression from this that it might have been the 1930s.
I think it was. We were married in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were in this one and came to the other.
Uh-huh.
We've been married 70 years.
Uh-huh.
And...
So you've had this property for almost 70 then?
It would have been... See, we've had
property
since.
We have enough acreage here. Each one of our boys 40 acres.
Uh-huh.
We have, of course, Gerald has 40. Gerald has 80 acres. We give him 80 acres, didn't we? And then our son graduated from, let's see, I'm trying to remember the years here. Our son, Dorn, is a retired as an Air Force colonel, and we gave him 40 acres, and he built a nice home right up this road up here, less than a quarter of a mile away.
Uh-huh.
So we have both of our boys here.
Yeah, that's very good. Now, at the time you bought it, were you thinking of farming at some time, or was it strictly
for investment,
I see.
Yeah, property was cheap, and we bought it for investment.
Yes.
That we did, we had it for the boys, yeah.
We came out here and we were in Imler. He was superintendent of schools at Imler. This property was for sale out here. And 40 acres, this first 40 was for sale. So we came out here and, that was the investment, so we bought it. It was very cheap in those days, too.
I imagine so.
And it was about $1,000, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Wasn't
it
his first 40 acres and about $1,000
we
paid for it?
I paid $1,000 for 40 acres here. Can you imagine that?
Now, let's go to just, shortly before that, before you were married, you went to Eastern Oregon College, or normal school it was then.
Yeah,
right after you graduated from high school, right?
Right.
For
the summer I graduated from high school.
Yes.
I started the first summer. First summer of open.
1929?
Mm-hmm.
I was a beginner.
I wish you could tell me, from what you can remember, how that place looked and how it felt to be a student there in the summer times.
It was just one building.
Yes.
One building and the stairs with all those steps.
Yeah.
And the first summer I came down here, you had to find a boarding place.
No dormitories.
There were no dormitories or anything. And there was a family that's almost at the foot of the stairs there. They're out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I started boarding there. But of course, I didn't have any money, so that's where I started off.
Well, didn't you have the $75 from the sale of some...
Horse.
A horse, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that's where I started the school with that. That $75 didn't last very long.
No.
I paid the tuition and a few things, but that was about it. And
and what classes were you taking, do you remember?
Dr. Sable.
An English literature class.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And science to Stevenson. And what was her name? Her name slips my mind. That other lady that taught literature there.
That
what? Mrs. Indramatics and things. What was her name? I can't think of it right now, but there's another instructor there. Mm-hmm.
And at that time, were you thinking of teaching?
Mm-hmm. That was it, because actually, when I got out of high school, there weren't too many options for girls at that point. It was either nursing or teaching. Well, I didn't think it was going to be teaching, so I went to the hospital in Baker and told him I wanted to sign up to go into nursing profession. He looked at my age and said, go home and grow up.
On the other hand, at that time, a number of young women who were very young were teachers, weren't they? Became teachers.
So I couldn't be a nurse, so I said, okay, little grand.
Now you said, I think you said in your book here that after about 3 weeks you weren't sure that you were smart enough.
No, I was just to put it.
Why did you think that?
Oh, the tests and things that they gave, you know, the classes, and taking the first test, and I thought, I don't know this stuff, I'm not smart enough.
It was a lot harder than high school, I think?
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, I thought, well, I'm not smart enough to do this.
Straight A's on a master's. Not straight through, straight A's. Yeah.
But at first, it wasn't that way.
No, I was so discouraged, and so I went home and I told Dad I was going to quit. But I couldn't do it. I wasn't smart enough to do it. I always said, go back and try it, give it another try.
Can you remember in any detail about the teaching method or about other students at that time?
It was...
Well, let me help answer that, fellas.
Okay, go ahead.
The teachers at that time came out of the film high school. And the president, in-law, was superintendent at Finland. And he brought a number of teachers over with him. So they were really, most of them were secondary teachers. But they were good. He picked some good people.
Mm-hmm.
That was in-law himself. I served as a janitor to him for part of the time I was there in order to stay in school. Mm-hmm. Back in the 1932, things were rough, you know, 29 to 32, things were rough. Nobody was available.
Tell me about Inlow himself, what sort of man he was.
He was pretty well accepted by the public. He was superintendent of schools at Pendleton, and he was a select person from Eastern Oregon. What is it particularly that you want?
Well, just his personality, for instance.
His personality was good. People liked him. He got along with people. They seemed to accept pretty well what he said as he put those things into practice. He was well accepted. There was a big fight between some of the superintendents in order to... It wasn't a fight. It was hard feelings amongst some of them. Because several of the superintendents were wanting the job.
I came down to go to summer school and got out of high school. Pretty young. But I went there for a while and I thought, I can't do this. It's too much for me. I'm not smart enough to do this. But 4th of July, I went home to my dad and I said, can't do it, I'm too dumb. I had no use for going back there.
But you did finish up the summer.
Well, Dad said, he said, well, go back and try it again. This was 4th of July, been about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, go back and give it another try. So I went back and it was all right.
Well, I asked you about the teaching method. Did teachers mostly lecture at that time, or was there much discussion?
Not much. Mostly it was lecture.
Mm-hmm.
There was the rooms were full when the college opened. Of course, people were students were waiting for it to open up.
Yeah.
But when it opened up, boy, they crowded in. The rooms were full. One of the better liked professors, although he was a poor professor, he was a Bob Quinn, athletic coach. He was well accepted because of his ability to take just a handful of boys and put out winning teams for them. But I participated in athletics. catcher on the baseball team. And we played the all the teams throughout the from here to the Colts.
Well, if you finished up the summer, that didn't get you a teaching certificate. So when did you next go back to college to work on a degree?
Went back in the fall.
Oh, you just continued in the fall?
Uh-huh.
Did you go straight through then until you had your certificate?
No. It was, what was it? I lacked one quarter.
You lacked a quarter?
Uh-huh.
Was that... And that was a 4 years or 2 years?
No, that was 2 years.
2 years.
Okay. And then you could teach school. At that time, you could teach school on that much, so I got not that long and then got my certificate to start to teach.
Did the program at that time include any actual classroom teaching, student teaching?
Yes, it did.
Where did you do that?
It was fourth grade.
In the lab school there?
Lab school. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember that?
Uh-huh, yeah. Fourth grade.
How well prepared did you feel then to go out and teach on your own?
Didn't really think too much about it, but the school, my first school was out of Baker then, and I only had three students. The little one-room school. Uh-huh. And I had these three little, there was two in the third grade and one in the second.
Mm-hmm.
So it was no big challenge.
Well, that's a somewhat easier way to start than having 25 or 30.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes.
So we had a lot of fun with them. It was really, you know, just with the three of them,
right.
Well, we just did everything.
Uh-huh.
Elmo Peterson. Have you heard of him?
I don't think so.
Peterson.
I don't mean Peterson.
Stevenson.
Stevenson.
Elmo Stevenson.
Yes.
One of the professors of science. And he was pursuing his doctorate at that time. I think when he came here he only had a bachelor's degree. But he was one of the better known and well accepted professors. He later became president at on the coast, Southern
Oregon.
Yes. We hear one called Lovingham.
Now, while Phyllis is working on her 2-year certificate, what were you doing?
Let's see, well.
Well, you were, that 1 year, while I was in school, you were teaching down in Nissa.
Yeah, teaching in Nissa.
Well, how did you get your teacher's certificate sooner than she did?
I don't hear too well.
How did you get your certificate sooner than she did?
I guess I was older.
He was in school here.
I see. He had started, a full school year before you?
I was at the University of Oklahoma for a year or a summer. So I transferred some of that, but very little of it fit into teaching. It was straight academics.
Yeah. So you started teaching in what school?
I started teaching at Oregon Trail.
Oh, yes.
That's
in Baker County.
That's in Baker.
Malheur
County.
I see.
It was a two-teacher school.
Mm-hmm. And then you came back to Eastern Oregon for more study? Did you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was that to get your bachelor's degree?
Let's see, I took my 2-year diploma from Southern Oregon College because I didn't have student teaching facilities available. So Enloe made the arrangement to go down to Southern Oregon to... Monmouth.
Yes.
You know where Monmouth is?
Yes, I do.
So he made the arrangement for me to go down during the summer and I did my student teaching. And then we continued over the years.
Now tell me about coming to Embler.
Let's see.
That's when I received my degree. I went to Embler.
We had been at Oregon Trail.
always there about 8 years.
Well, did you come to Embler as a teacher or as the superintendent?
I came as a teacher, and about a year and a half, well, I was promoted to the superintendent. Mm-hmm.
Now, which school were you teaching in Embler? Or was there only one?
Only one.
That was an elementary school?
Elementary and secondary. Both.
Both?
Elementary and secondary.
Where was the building?
Is that old one that's there?
Where?
The red building. Rick building.
Near where this present school is, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, red brick building. Oh, yes, yes.
Old.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
was that fairly new when you got there?
I don't remember the year.
And I don't think so. Not too new, no.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
Well, can you remember, can you give me any details about what it was like to teach in that building?
In that building? No problem.
He had the high school was upstairs.
Yeah.
The grade school was downstairs. Mm-hmm.
About how many students altogether?
I taught 7th and 8th grade there. And I probably had around 16, 17 students.
Yeah, but in the school as a whole, would there have been 100 students maybe?
I think so.
I'm interested in that because I went to a school on Long Island which was like that. The elementary school on the first floor and the secondary school on the second floor. And there were 65 students in the high school.
Very similar. Project.
Very similar, yes,
yeah, very
indeed.
Similar.
Did you say you went to school there?
I went to school on Long Island in a school like that. A very small, rural town. What was good about teaching in that kind of a school for you?
For me?
Yeah, both
probably,
of you.
Probably closest to students and parents. There were no problems. We had no problems of any kind. Other than just times were hard. Money was scarce.
And also, I think at that time, there was a lot more freedom. I mean, to teach.
You could make up your own curriculum, you mean?
Well, of course, you had textbooks and things
yes.
from the state, but I mean, as far as, you know, this testing and doing all this sort of thing, it's all up to you. You did your own tests and you checked them out and see how they were doing, and it was...
At that time, weren't there state exams, though, in the 8th grade?
Early there was, but I liked it.
8th grade examinations. Mm-hmm. I had the distinction of never losing a student, and I'm awfully proud of that. For several years, I...
Not having one flunk?
Not one in 8th grade. And I carried that on for several years while other rural schools were losing students. And just couldn't pass the examination.
Uh-huh. Of course, many students did leave school at the end of 8th grade at that time, didn't they? What subject areas were the tests in?
I'm having a little trouble hearing.
Subjects so. That they tested.
Subject English, history,
yes.
geography.
Yes.
Science.
Geography and health. At one time when it was in the
All the emphasis on penmanship, I remember, on reading and writing.
Was there a state exam in penmanship? This was Palmer Method, I suppose.
At that time, all the years that I was at Oregon Trail, there were state exams.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been proud of the fact that I never lost a student.
Uh-huh. At this perspective, what do you think about having state tests like that for the 8th grade? Is it a good idea?
I don't see much of a bad idea. I really don't.
I guess I agree with the fellows. I don't.
Does it help to keep standards up?
I don't know as it does because, I mean, as those exams as I think of them, they didn't particularly. I mean, there's exams there, but I don't think they were particularly. Could see any particular value.
Were they difficult?
No,
they were difficult.
Yes, they were. I think they did 12 questions and students could choose 10
uh-huh.
and leave two.
Well, if they didn't pass the test, then they couldn't get a certificate from the eighth grade, is that right?
I recall that I set up, I was giving, allowing students to stay after 4 o'clock if they wanted to study for them. And I kept them, I didn't keep them. If they wanted to come from 4 o'clock to about 4:45, I worked with them about a month before the examinations.
And did you have copies of old exams to use?
You did have.
Or other.
I mean.
I stand, you did. When you had your students, you had copies of old exams.
Oh, yes. Is that right? Was that your question?
Yes.
Yes, I had that.
Uh-huh.
To give them an idea of what the kinds of.
Sure. I'm familiar with that too, because I went to the New York State schools where Regents exams still are given.
Oh, really?
And I started taking them in the seventh grade. And we always had copies of past exams and spent the last 6 weeks of the year studying those.
I was able to get them through the county school superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about those exams, you know, they're such a sameness.
Yes.
Often,
oh, yes.
Of everyone.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they have any ideas of past exams,
sure.
But there's such a sameness about them.
Yeah. Which is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. Who scored those exam papers?
I'm having trouble hearing.
Where were the state exams scored? Where did they get scored?
We sent them in to the state school superintendent.
I'm going to sit here.
All right, that'd be better. That'll be better.
It's a hearing problem.
Yeah. And the scores came back when? Before school was out?
I just don't remember.
Uh-huh. I would think they might have to in order to use them as a basis for deciding whether they had finished the eighth grade satisfactorily.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to hear about those. It's been a long time ago since that was abolished.
Oh, yes, I know. Now, you said you never had any trouble. Does that mean that you weren't, there weren't discipline problems?
We had no discipline problems.
Now, why is that, you think?
I didn't have any discipline problems in high school when I taught in high school.
Well, why were the kids more willing to behave properly?
I think I kept them busy.
But I think, too, that it's a generation.
Yeah, the kids, I think, are quieter.
They're different than the students that came at that time.
I'm sure they are. I'm just trying to find out what you think was different about them then.
Well, I think it's a lot of it's parental control and parental mm-hmm. guidance.
Mm-hmm.
The parents said, you will do this or that.
Yes.
They get the little ends paddle too. That helped a little bit.
I'm sure.
But I think it's parental is a lot of it because uh-huh. they said you'll go to school and behave yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't suppose I paddled after about 8 years there at Oregon Trail. I don't think I ever paddled over half a dozen boys.
What did you use to paddle them with?
A wooden paddle flat.
Really?
Yeah. Car.
On
yeah.
Here?
On the bikes.
How many times? That depend on.
Half a dozen times.
Or did that depend on the crime? I remember a sixth grade teacher who used a ruler over the knuckles.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That hurts.
I didn't paddle too many kids. I don't suppose there were two or three kids that I ever paddled in school. I always get the big boys were the ones that always I get those first, you know. That had an effect, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, you're fairly tall, so I imagine you intimidated them a little bit, didn't you?
Possibly so.
Yes.
I work with the kids. They go out for recess. I was out there with them
uh-huh.
all the time, uh-huh. all the time. I never left them alone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any problems. We had no problems.
I never did.
No problems in high school either.
Never did paddling.
I took the schools at, let's see, where did we go when we left them? We went to...
Left where?
Hmm?
Where did we go when we left where?
When we left Denver.
Union?
I thought you went over to Union after that.
Yeah, that's right. We went to Union over that.
Now, why did you accept a job in Union?
Better pay.
Was it? It was a larger district?
Larger school. It was a pretty good sized school system at that time.
And better money?
They took it over during a school strike. It was a bad situation. It was nasty. Big school strike at Emler and at Union.
The teachers were striking?
No, the students were striking. And they were just raising hell over there.
So why? What was the problem?
There was a breakdown between the superintendent and the head coach. And they got to squabbling and it began to increase and increase until the kids began to take it up. Well, they were throwing eggs and everything else in the superintendent's office and in the school and in his residence. And the policemen over there at that time, they were always on the other side of town, you know, when that happened. They'd leave, you know, and you're on the other side of town somewhere. It was a nasty situation.
Do you remember what the superintendent had done that angered the coach?
I don't remember that. But they were really having a bad time.
So how long did this had this strike gone on?
I suppose almost a full year.
Really?
You know, you had the increase and increase and increase.
The students were refusing to come to class or
they were
what?
Just, I guess so. That was part of it anyway.
And what were you expected to do?
What was I expected to do?
Yes.
Tame them.
Get him back in school.
Was the coach still there?
He was fired.
He was fired. Maybe that helped us all.
The superintendent was fired too.
I see.
They came over in March, came over to Ember and asked me to, if I was interested in coming over. Because we'd had a pretty good reputation in Ember. We had no problems over there at all. Absolutely none. So they invited me over, and I went over and looked the situation over and told them, yes, I'll take it. If I could get released from the board released me, so I went over. Had no more problems.
Was that about 1938 or so?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, memories, you got rid of some of the troublemakers.
Yeah, I was in touch with the state school superintendent, Rex Putnam. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
And he and I were pretty good friends. I don't know why we clicked, but we were about the same age, you know, and we got along fine. So I went to Salem and talked to him. And I asked him if he would, war was on, and well, they were taking men at that time. And I'd ask him if I could release those boys to the Army and give their diplomas. And he thought about it a while and finally said, well, I think maybe that'd be the best bet. So we gave about five or six boys, that were causing the trouble, and they were all eligible for the draft for the armed forces. So I called them in and talked to them for quite a long time and told them if they wanted to go into service, well, we'd give them their diplomas. They took me up on it. One or two of them, I think, about ready to flunk, so they were glad to have the opportunity. In fact, one or two of them, I guess, was almost kicked out of school, but I got them back in. So that's one of the first moves I made, is to get those kids into the armed forces. They would have gone anyway, as soon as they were waiting for the diplomas. Mm-hmm.
What effects do you remember of the war, the approaching war, on the students there? Were they aware or thinking about it?
Most of the boys wanted to go, ready to go. Mm-hmm.
There was quite a wave of support for our country, especially after the Japanese attack.
Well, I knew that because all the boys that were having trouble over there, they went right into service.
Do you recall any ways in which the the war as it went on in the early 1940s affected students at the school? Did they talk about it, or did teachers help them understand what purposes of the war were?
Oh, yes. Yes, we tried to instill that into the program. Mm-hmm.
How did they do that?
How did they instill the program into the kids?
Yes.
I think mostly by just talking to them, calling them in, and through that process. Mm-hmm.
Must have been newspaper stories about it, where would teachers bring copies of the newspaper in and have them read?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Which newspaper were you using mainly then? The Observer?
We were using it.
And Phyllis, did you start teaching in Union at the same time that he became superintendent?
No. I hadn't finished. You know, you could teach then without having 2 years.
Do you get mad when you leave? Do you get mad when you leave?
We had to get 3 quarters and take state examinations. And
teachers' examinations?
Teachers' state examinations. And then you could go to school and teach. So I had gotten my 5 quarters, I think,
to work on the
state exam. And I said, oh, I can't get it. For that. So there's no use for me to go to look for a school because I know I can't pass the state examination, so I'm not going to go out and try to find a job because no use.
Now, why did you think you couldn't pass the state examination?
I was just too dumb.
So, it took you a while to persuade yourself otherwise, eh?
So the state exams come along, so I went and took them. Lo and behold, I passed. But I hadn't even looked for a job. So I was going to teach. So we started, and we started going around to the school district, and because everybody tired by that time, because this was, you know, August. Mm-hmm. Because when the exams came back and I passed, and then we went for a job. So I was looking for vacancies, and I think there were two schools, I think it was, or three, that hadn't hired their staff for that year, because we weren't sure they were going to have school. So we went there. He drove me around that time with the old car and was going to all these three districts to see if I could get a job.
Were some of these one-room schools? I see.
Morganville was the best school in the county, though. So then even had toilets and running water.
So then the little school, that Stewart School, was out on that straight stretch. And
where? In Union County?
Baker.
Oh, Baker. But he was going to Union.
He was in Mount Air County.
Well, I mean when you had taught in Imbler.
Oh, this is before.
Well, okay. I'm trying to keep this sort of in sequence. You were teaching in Imbler at the same time he was superintendent there. So when he became superintendent in Union, did you immediately switch over to Union to teach?
I put him over there.
Uh-huh. You had to move over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What were you teaching then?
First grade. Always first grade if I could get first grade.
That was your preference?
Always.
Why did you prefer first grade? You said you had taught 7th and 8th at, or 7th anyway, at Imbler. Mm-hmm. You liked the younger kids better.
I liked first grade. Because maybe they always loved their teacher. No, they're more fun to work with. We actually can see everything that they're doing. I mean, you've taught it, they know it, they're adult things. Mm-hmm. You know, do you do it again or not? Because you know exactly if they've got it. And you know whether you're succeeding or not. Mm-hmm.
Post took her master's in special education, and yet she continued teaching.
Oh, I got first grade.
She liked the first grade.
Uh-huh.
That's the only grade I really know.
Were the teaching conditions in any way better in Union?
They were good. They were good. It was a nice school.
How was the budget for materials?
Not a lot.
Pretty rough.
Yeah, they were just. That was a time when the district didn't think about furniture materials. You know, even before that, students had to furnish their own tablets and pencils and everything, books, and buy their books and do everything before then. So, as far as teaching supplies, that was pretty much a meal.
So, suppose students couldn't afford, their parents couldn't afford to buy the books that they needed. Did you have any way of helping them to?
No, we never did.
So, did some students go without books or materials?
No.
Books or furniture, I think those.
Huh?
I think books
or furniture. Not right at first, later on even.
It's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds as though maybe then managing the budget as superintendent wasn't very complicated. Is that right?
I don't think it was too complicated.
You had teacher salaries, maintenance on the building,
yeah.
Bus. You didn't have bus expense, did you?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, we had bus.
Okay. But you didn't have to buy textbooks or paper or copying machine material, anything like that?
No.
Did you?
No.
So, it sounds like a very simple budget.
It was simple, all right.
not much, I tell you.
What did your job as superintendent consist of, primarily?
Well, mostly having a high school. I had an excellent principal at grade school. I think that's about it.
You mean you were like the principal of the high school also? As well as
I was principal of the high school and the superintendent.
I see. Uh-huh.
And then we had an elementary principal.
Mm-hmm.
Different building.
Mm-hmm. The high school was in the same building it is in now, wasn't
yeah.
it, at that time?
Same building.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think it changed much.
Was there a lot of after-school responsibility that you had as superintendent?
Yeah.
What sorts of duties?
I was expected to participate in community activities a lot, and sports. I didn't mind doing that.
Sports.
I was interested in sports.
To organize all the games and whatnot.
I lettered in college, of course, and I was interested in it, and I kept things going. My policy was to have something for every kid in high school to participate in if he wanted to, and we made that possible.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't stranded for money. We had the money to do things that we needed to do. The board was very kind to me during that period of time.
Did you have any knowledge at that time of the remaining one-room schools in the county?
Your question again?
Did you have any knowledge at the time you were in Union of the remaining one-room schools in the county?
We sure did. One of those one-room schools, you went out with Merton Davis and was getting those one-room schools all closed up. Wasn't that
true? I think so.
Was that the time when one-room schools were being closed?
No,
rapidly?
Consolidation.
Uh-huh.
Consolidation.
Uh-huh. What do you think of that? Was that a good idea as you think back on it?
I think so.
Why?
The rural school, we're not offering enough to, we're not offering enough to the kids. And I think there was more activity going on. The kids, of course, in high school like activity. And they participate in it.
But wouldn't they have been all right for elementary level?
Probably.
Were they seen as not economical to run? Was that one of the reasons?
I'm having trouble hearing.
I think that was one of the things probably, because see, the first school that I had was a little one-room school in South Acre, and they only had three students, and I think that was the last year they tried to have school out there, because I mean, to hold the school for that small amount was much easier to get the buses than busing in the paper. And I think that was about the last year that when I was out there, I think that was about the last year. You know, we had three old students anyway.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten a little information about the Mount Glen School over here on Mount Glen Road. You know, it's a very small school, but I talked to one man who went to that school, and he said, even up to eighth grade, he thought it was a wonderful place to, to learn and to have social activities.
Well, you know, like I said, when I had this one-room school out of Baker, and I only had three students, and they were second grade and third grade. Mm-hmm. Only three students in there, just the two little grades. But we were doing everything, and Dad and Nora, and I said to the county school superintendent, because we frankly covered, you know, that was required, and I said to her, she said, "Well, don't stop there. Keep going," she said. I never will forget that. "I've covered all this. What do I do now?" She said, "You don't stop now."
And when you say you covered the material...
Well, you know, the textbooks...
With the textbooks, you...
Yes, there was so many requirements, you know, that you were supposed to do in the textbooks that you were covering.
Mm-hmm.
"I've done all that. What do I do now?" Mm-hmm. She said, "Don't stop now."
Were you able to get textbooks for the next level then?
I got some other books. I got a few more books, some different, more supplementary type of things. And she said, only three students, second, third, two-thirds. And so she said, "Keep going."
Did you talk with other teachers in one-room schools?
No.
Not at all? Because some of them had 35 or 40 students at all levels, first through eighth.
That would have been terrible. I don't know how to...
Well, I'm sure it was a hard job to do it conscientiously. Did you have to get there early and start the fire and do all
fire,
those...
fire, clean the room.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure the building was warm in the morning, and, and that was cold winter day.
Yes.
Where are our union books, folks?
Huh?
Are all the union books down here?
I don't know. Might be. Oh, that was a... that was different.
Did you come back to Eastern Oregon for classes in the... in the summer times?
Uh-huh.
Look at that handsome superintendent.
Well, we had no problems there. It's kind of nice, you know, Lula.
Did you dress in a suit and a tie every day?
Yes, he did.
Did you dress in a suit and a tie every day?
Yeah.
Sure.
Always dressed well.
Mm-hmm.
I had that reputation of dressing well, both at the college and in the classes, too.
That's a good idea.
I handled the going to pieces, folks.
Yeah, I've been around a while.
Could we talk a little about the town of Union during those years?
Sure.
What kinds of businesses there were, and for instance? It looked different then from what it looks now, doesn't it?
Do you want to take any of these with you?
Probably not.
Okay.
There was a, you know, the main store there, which was, can't think of his name, the grand grocery store there, main one.
It's still there?
I don't remember the name of those.
And then, of course, the little library, which is still there.
Was it a more flourishing business town than it is now?
I think so. That highway made such a difference. In fact, it changed it completely, really. Because, you see, in the earlier times, so that the road went right through Union, and so it made all the difference in the world.
That was the main road between Baker and the Grand Ronde, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Went right through the middle of Union, and so it was a different, I mean, all gives a difference than that through the highway.
Yes, indeed.
Changed all the businesses and everything else was really out.
And although there were many, many people had cars at that time, do you think they traveled less than they do now?
Well, of course, a lot of them in Union then with comfortable grams for their shopping and going off things like that because they had the cars and comfortable grams.
Did you do that too?
Yes, why? Well, there wasn't too much in the Union.
Well, that's what I...
Grocery store.
I was wondering whether at that time, in the 1940s, there might have been more businesses and more business activity in Union itself, but maybe not.
Well, I think there was. Of course, there was the creamery was there then, and I think it had put a little bit of business in the mill.
What kind of a mill was that?
That sawmill.
Sawmill there was a granaries where they made flour.
But then,
of course, they don't have those anymore. I'm not too familiar with what's going on over in that area now.
But they was quite a, you know, the mill that was running there was quite an employment, I mean, back here.
You remember when that closed?
It's after we left.
And when did you leave? After 1950, I know that.
It's 52, I mean. We were left in 50, was the president. Left for Eugene. Then it was in Eugene in 52, and then we went to Billings in 54.
Why did you decide to leave Union?
Not to kill me over there. Too much work.
Really?
Well, you
expected a lot.
I wanted to get your degree.
And I wanted my doctorate, so.
Not your degree.
Took time off. So everything hit all right. And they worked it pretty hard over there. I needed another administrator over there. Couldn't afford it, though.
And why did you want advanced degrees?
That came later, your doctorate, from when you were in Montana. But when you used the program, when you first went there, you went down for your master's degree. Yeah. Is that right?
Out?
No, it's still going.
Still running, huh?
Well, did you have in mind that you would be working at a college or a university?
I began to think about it at that time. they expected a lot of the superintendent over at Union, and they, I worked pretty hard over there. Don't you think that's about right, fellas?
Yeah, a little hard.
And then from that, it was on to Montana.
Yeah.
Right. And then you decided to come back here from Montana because you had the land here, and you had a house here also?
Just a little house, not too much.
Was it primarily the fact that you had land that made you want to come here, or were there other...
We like the climate here. Uh-huh. We like the country. Just enjoy it very much.
See, we lived here in the valley, and this was always home anyway. Mm-hmm. Not in Montana, mm-hmm. not really. Mm-hmm. Even though we were there for a long number of years,
yes.
This was home, okay. In the valley here.
Besides the climate, what do you like about the valley?
What was the question?
Besides the climate, what else do you like about the valley?
Well, of course, at that time I was a hunter and a fisherman, you know. Uh-huh. I spent a lot of time out uh-huh. hunting and fishing.
Uh-huh. But don't you think this is one of the prettiest spots?
I do. I do, but I want to get your ideas.
Are you a hunter?
No. I'm not a fisherman either.
No, but I think this is one of the prettiest places.
Because I used to, it's like to go out and camp, you know. Mm-hmm. Get away from everybody and everything. Mm-hmm.
But I have always thought this was a beautiful, beautiful valley. Mm-hmm.
And do you like it better in this part of the valley because there aren't as many people and not as much activity?
I think so.
Well, I think we bought this property.
Well, we talked about that before. Yes. 1930s.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we have the property mm-hmm. here.
So.
And always... I always like this spot right mm-hmm. here. I just like this.
But I guess you prefer not having too many people living nearby?
Well, yes, in a way.
Are there any problems with living here?
No.
Any negatives?
Well, I like it here in the valley.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, in this part of the valley.
No, I like it here.
We live in the Grand, and this seems quite a ways out to me.
There's a different perspective, because the Grand's not very far.
Okay. If you had a horse and buggy, it might seem quite a ways.
Three times it would have been, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But we bought this property way back in... When did we buy this?
About 1935 or 6?
No, because it'd be about 35 or 36.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has the, have the weather conditions changed very much since the years when you first had the property?
No, I don't think so.
Some people say that the winters were much more severe than they are now.
Well, you know, I don't think there's that much difference because different winters, you know, can be different.
Sure.
If you live here. You may have some winters where we have a week of really nasty, blowing mm-hmm. weather, and
yes.
then again, we don't. I mean,
there has been a tendency in the past several years, however, for warmer winters.
But,
do you have a well?
Yes. Two wells here, one for this house and one over here for this one,
uh-huh.
where our son lives.
Uh-huh. There's no sewer system out here, is there?
No.
So you have a septic system?
Septic. Mm-hmm.
Any problems with that?
No, we've been very fortunate.
There's a fairly high water table in the valley. I should think septic systems might not work too well.
Yeah. Ours seems to work
great. No problems here.
Mm-hmm. And are there animals that come close by?
The deer.
Yes.
Turkeys.
Turkeys.
And
had cats around here, bobcats. Bear gets up here occasionally after the fruit trees, you know. Mm-hmm.
They don't bother them very much, but they're around.
We had one bobcat that kept taking our chickens for a while, so we finally took care of him. No, we haven't had that problem. We used to go out to Huckleberries a lot when we were able to get around. Mm-hmm. And fall through the mountain over here. Mm-hmm. Are you a Huckleberry hunter?
Well, I have occasionally. Where I lived on Long Island, we had Huckleberries all around us.
So you didn't have to go really hunting them, huh?
No. No. We didn't have mushrooms, however, and I imagine you have mushrooms close by here.
Yeah, mushrooms are on the place here.
Are they? Morels?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I haven't been out and looked for them.
They should be here about now, folks.
Yes, they should.
But you have to take a look. Neither one of us can walk too far anymore, so it's kind of cut our up on us.
Don't do too well mushroom honey. I used to.
You know, it's terrible to get old. I swear it's terrible to get old.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what's the best thing about being old?
I don't think there's any best.
Really?
My golly, I hear
well, you're both very alert mentally. I should think that there would be a lot of good things to remember.
Yeah, it began to bother me just a little bit, the alertness. And I suppose at 94, though, it should be, shouldn't it?
Well, I think you're remarkably alert at age 94. But a loss of hearing and other physical deterioration, is that the problem?
I mean, it's a problem.
Do you get depressed about that?
We used to, like to go places, we travel a lot overseas. We've been in 25 or 30 countries abroad. Mm-hmm. And we just loved every bit of it, you know. Mm-hmm. But we can't do it anymore. It bothers us.
You want to go and you can't go.
Yeah, all through the area where they're fighting now. We've been all through that country a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Why would you want to go back?
Well, there's many interesting things that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. It's good to see.
Mm-hmm. And people,
people are different. And, oh, we love to travel.
Yes. We were very fortunate because we contacted. There was a student that he had at college in Montana, a Korean girl student. So she said that, you know, come to Korea and be with her family. So, I mean, we were very fortunate because he could go there and we were with the family and, you know, they took us around and we were just really fortunate, really lucky. Mm-hmm.
Was that in the area of Seoul?
No, it was in Seoul. That was really interesting to travel abroad. I was the foreign student advisor at the college, at the university. And the experience that I had in traveling overseas, and the government sent me to Thailand at one time for 2 years to upgrade the schools. And that was... they selected 4 people, one from this area of the country, and the four of us made up a team, although we worked separately. I'll tell you, that was interesting work now. And I enjoyed our overseas work. Mine attracted a lot of attention because we got into areas where they'd never seen a blonde woman before. You know. Blue eyes and blonde hair, and they'd never seen that. She attracted a lot of attention.
I bet.
Especially the men.
You're the Gerald just laughed. He used to talk to us the funniest thing. He was on my boat walking along, and this little tiny chalk come along, and all she saw me. Scared that chalk. Yeah. And Gerald just laughed. He said, "This girl." I could scare the cats.
Tell
me, we got areas where they'd never seen a white person before. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little more about why you started to write that book about the family.
out. When did I start driving? I guess I just wanted to... Well, I think it's because of my father. Because I really was...
You were recording the family, didn't you?
Yeah, but it was because of my father, because he was so faithful to me.
And you saw the book before he died? No? So it's to his memory then?
I realized because he was...
Yes, she had a wonderful father. I never knew her mother.
But, I think that was the reason, just because of him.
Uh-huh. Has the book gone out to people other than members of the family?
It was, there were some copies down at the bookstore. I don't know how they sold or where they sold them at.
In LeGrand?
In LeGrand, and they were in Baker, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, I assume they sold them.
Did you try to get any in libraries?
I gave quite a few of the library.
Mm-hmm. How many copies?
Around here close, we gave books to them.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How many copies did you have made?
Thousands.
Uh-huh. Do you still have some?
Yeah. They weren't that good.
Well, there's a lot of historical information there, so I think that they would be good for anyone who wants to know certainly about Baker County and life on the farm. There's a lot of detail about that.
Well, LeGrand is not your home, is it?
No. I grew up on Long Island, but I came to LeGrand in December of 1950, right after I'd graduated from college.